Ice Cube's Big 3 is back. The most competitive basketball league on earth is on CBS this Saturday. Big 3 All-Star Dwight Howard and the LA Riot take on Greg Monroe and the Dallas Power. Then in another clash of undefeated teams, Earl Clark and Coach Steven Jackson lead the DMV Trilogy against Montrezl Harrell, Coach Dr. J, and the Chicago Triplets. The game played the way you love. Watch live Saturday on CBS at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and catch replays Monday on BET. Presented by iHeart.
An absolute battle awaits in Washington on Saturday, and Ohio State can't wait to get there. Welcome to Snap Judgments. He is Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Ward on the Austin and Berm Show. Buckeyes have adjusted the travel schedule for the Big Ten opener against the Huskies on Saturday. That would be 12:30 Pacific time, 3:30 Eastern time on CBS. They will be leaving after an earlier practice on Thursday, Berm. I think that's the most relevant piece of news that emerged, and it may not even actually matter for the game itself, but it is a change to the normal approach.
It's a change, but I think it's funny. Ryan Day seemed to push back on the idea that it was like sports science driven or medically driven or anything like that. And then basically said, well, we played pretty good in the playoff when we did this. So it's actually just all superstition is what it feels like to me.
Oh, no, it's not that.
Obviously, there's some value in getting your body acclimated to being in the West Coast a one day earlier because you're changing things. I mean, aside from just travel, which is weird, you know, because you're flying through the sky in a metal tube going hundreds of miles an hour faster than a human should ever travel.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty wild when you think about it. Have you guys ever thought about how planes work? That is nuts. But for Ohio State to get there, to get comfortable, to have a full walkthrough at the stadium and stuff like that on Friday, as opposed to having to get in Friday at 6 o'clock and then go to bed and turn around and have to wake up and play like they did last year. At least, you know, this is a 12:30 game. So it's going to feel, I think, a lot of ways pretty similar or pretty normal for Ohio State, but there's obviously value more than just like we played good in the playoffs.
Yeah. I actually don't know if they're going to do a walkthrough at the stadium. That's one thing that Ohio State typically
rarely
doesn't
do.
Yeah. So that's the one part of the itinerary that we didn't get to, but you know, Bloody Tuesday, all these practices today, Wednesday, and then Ohio State will practice on Thursday before they fly out there, before they have snack time, before they get to bed, as Ryan Day talked about everything
apple
leading up
sauce
to that.
And
whatever it is.
Fruit snacks.
Yeah, whatever you choose. I hear there's great apples up there. Apple Cup was last weekend. Got to hear all about that with Washington and Washington State, the last piece of film that the Buckeyes got to break down before this one. But, you know, I don't think that they want to disrupt. They're not going to do this every week. It is a unique scenario coming off of an off week and then, you know, flying across the country, as you said, it puts a different toll on your body. And he said it wasn't a direct response to the Oregon game, which was highly competitive. I don't think that you could say that the Buckeyes played or looked sluggish in that game. But I do think that he said that they're constantly looking to improve. And there is an element of sports science where Ryan Day was sitting with Mickey Marotti. They were looking at the data. They were talking with Quinn Temple about some of the logistics of all that. And it's like, yeah, this makes sense. It's possible to do that. And then that allows you that time to rest and recover, to be ready for Saturday at 12:30 Pacific time, because this isn't, they're not looking at this as some pushover. The terminology that Ryan Day used, again, is to start with the absolute battle. Then he said it would take everything they've got to win this game. The Buckeyes are on full alert for this one, which we talked about being a real possibility.
There was a ton of deference paid to Washington in this press conference that we had on Tuesday afternoon or morning in the Woody. And some of that is unusual came from the media, who actually asked about Washington for the first, you know, we haven't.
That is unusual. It
very rarely do we actually talk about the opponent in these press conferences. But Ryan Day clearly believes that Washington has some special parts to it, some special components, starting with Damon Williams. It was Steve Hellwagon from Bucknuts who brought up the Washington's pass rush success rate without blitzing, which is the best in the country, which even though you watch their defense, you know, this defense isn't that good, but clearly they're affecting offenses in some way. So Ohio State going into this game thinking we can lose, generally to me, that's a good sign for Ohio State, because Ryan Day's tenure has not suffered one of these losses yet. So they're definitely on alert. And I don't know that I've heard Ryan Day speak that glowingly about an opponent in a long time.
Well, I mean, if we veer into Snappy J vibes territory, what was the thing that Ryan Day was not saying about this game? It's about us. Yeah. Execution fuels emotion, all these other things. It was,
don't let the crowd beat you. Don't, you know.
Yeah, all these opportunities that exist because they believe Washington is very good. Now, again, stopped short of saying talent equated. I don't think you can build a case that that's what this is. There are a lot of unique challenges and things that will test Ohio State without question on Saturday against Washington. But and that he built them up in every way except saying this team is the same as Texas, because they're not.
Yeah, I mean, this is not a 1-85. This team is on Ohio State's level, but they do have some guys that can make a difference. And again, the environment is going to be different. It's as I said at the live show at Roosters on Monday, like, it's the loudest stadium in the history of college football. So that's pretty cool.
I need to see the proof of that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's at 133 decibels.
The horseshoe's got that.
Seems like a lot.
The horseshoe's got that one that's showing every week. It's bouncing. Yeah,
it's always like 106, 107.
130. I don't think that one's real either.
I don't think any of it's real. remember in the old days when, like, the cool like thing to do when you were covering a game was to walk around with the sound.
No, it was never cool.
Never cool. Oh well. It's just something that some people suggest as content.
One person.
But anyway, the point is, yeah,
one moron.
This game is going to end up being driven by the environment more than it is what Washington does, I think, and because Ohio State is going to have to go into this and not step on their own toes and not shoot themselves in the foot, and I think that's ultimately. Did you get the sense? I asked the first question today. I asked about the difference in preparing.
Good thing I prepped you for that.
Yeah, I was wild. In preparing Julian Sane for this, and did you get the sense at all when Ryan Day said it's kind of like this the opener again? Does that mean in any way, shape, or form that Ohio State is going to dial back its offensive game plan, that it's going to button things up at all? Or am I reading too much into that?
I would be very surprised if that happened, personally, given the knowledge of what happened in the opener and the response from Brian
and reaction after
Ryan Day, yeah, that wasn't putting Julian Sain or maybe Jeremiah Smith or Carnell Tate or the collective offense in the position that they needed to succeed. And I have to say that with the caveat that they were playing Texas,
yeah,
and they knew what Texas's defense was capable of, and they were not going to design a game plan that was going to put a first-time starting quarterback in harm's way. The challenge, I think, is different on Saturday, and it is about where Julian Sain is playing and not who he's playing. For everything that we're talking about with the success of that pass rush, Ohio State's pass protection, I expect to be very good. It has been in every game so far. There, you can isolate maybe one or two plays that they want back. Ohio State is going to be able to protect Julian Sain. They're going to have winnable matchups in the secondary. Virtually every secondary they play, that's going to be true, but that's especially true of Washington, with Jeremiah Smith, with Carnell Tate, and what we see with the next maybe evolution, whether that's Brandon Ennis or Max Clair for that game plan, I don't know. It could be both. We'll see.
Why not?
But I think that as they've expanded, as they've got more comfortable, as they've seen what Julian Sain has taken on, the challenge that's issued to him here is red zone execution and understanding that the crowd noise and the communication is going to be different. And I think if you're looking at the numbers that, you know, statistically Washington's defense has allowed and the success that teams have found through the air, including, yeah, last week with Washington State throwing for 277 yards, you can't button it back to what it looked like against Texas. That wouldn't make any sense.
No.
And it wouldn't put Ohio State in the best spot to win this game.
No, and I think that they learned a valuable lesson. Again, we've never seen in my time covering Ryan Day, or actually covering any part of this program for the last 14 years, like, a coach immediately walk off the field and say, well, we should have done more. And he did that on television before he even hit the locker room against Texas. He did it again when he was up at the press conference against Texas. Like, I think it would be an absolute wrong decision by Ohio State to button things up. So I just want to make sure that I heard that the same way.
It wasn't, to me, it wasn't game plan specific. It was the newness. Ryan Day said that a month ago at this point, which is like, or first timeness was what, yeah, he said. He's like, I don't know if that's a word, but that's the way it feels. And as much as we're in this hurry to see the finished product of what Julian Sain looks like and what this fully formed offensive identity may become for Ohio State, this is a first road game, and it is one of the most hostile places that you can go. That's the reputation for Husky Stadium. It's the first Big Ten opponent that Julian Sain is going to play. It's the first time coming off of, you know,
An off week.
It's the first time dealing with some of the maybe missed opportunities that he had in the red zone and executing down there to finish off drives against Ohio. So that first timeness still very much exists for him. So I think that in comparison to Grambling in Ohio, where there's very little possibility that Julian Sain could have not led Ohio State to a win and been effective enough no matter what the scenario played out. In terms of, all right, putting this into the expectation and standard of what the Ohio State quarterback needs to do, winning at Washington is much more similar to beating Texas than the two games that followed that. So I think that's the, here's the first time opportunity that's in front of them. And there's several of them. And Washington is not devoid of talent on defense either. They haven't played great, but they're going to be more than capable of making Ohio State pay for mistakes. So I think there is a month into the season, you wouldn't see the offense go back and be as limited as it might have been in the passing attack. But the facing that adversity is going to be a little bit of a feeling out process at the same time.
Now, this was not a press conference where Ryan Day spoke a lot about individual players, about individual performances. You asked
about, I tried.
You asked about Ezra Houston and Tywan Malone and try to get some information or insight into the decision-making process about having Tywan Malone start. It seemed Ryan Day, again, something we've said repeatedly here is that there are no accidents in what he says. And it seemed like he was ready to, when asked about Ezra Houston, to basically say, everyone's trying to be consistent and to do the right things and to bring your A game. And so, you know, I guess we'll have to take him at his word that that's been the issue for Ezra Houston. He was asked about the running back rotation, and I think he shed some actual good light on that, about the challenges of trying to get three running backs who are all relatively new to this system.
Did it make you think, like I was thinking already before Ryan Day talked about it, that his response was like, we're probably not going to be able to play three running backs?
That's kind of what I felt. Now the question is, who are the how do you determine who the two are that are your are go-tos in that game? Because I think you can't really predetermine that. I think you have to let every guy get in there and see how people are seeing the game and how they're approaching the task at hand. And so then you make the decision once the game is underway. But it does still open the door for how does James Peoples get going if he's only getting two carries in the first quarter? How does Bo Jackson get going if he's not touching the ball till the second quarter?
Yeah.
How does CJ Donaldson get going if he's only getting one snap and then coming off the field? So, like, I think that that is one of those interesting subplots that's being woven through this season. But does it matter? Like, as long as one guy is having the ball and running well per game, does it matter who it is? And I don't know.
Yeah, he referenced again the way that Ohio State used Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson a year ago, which was, well, you found the hot hand, and once you discovered who that was, then the carries were not 50-50 in most opportunities for Ohio State last year between Quinshon and Travion. Like, one of them was going to get more work than the other, and that was just going to be the reality of it. It could flip based on the game, but it was between two, and so it's a little bit easier. It's not quite flipping a coin, but it's 50-50. And I think if you're trying to find a hot hand by giving all three of them an opportunity to establish that, you might put yourself in harm's way. It might be more difficult to figure that out. You're wasting a chunk of the game.
Yeah, it's hard to get the actual whole offense going if you are experimenting on almost a drive-by-drive basis in the start of the game. So, you know, if you come out in that first drive and you have the ball and James Peoples is your starter on Saturday and he has six carries for 45 yards and a touchdown, do you take him out at that point? You say, well, now we got to try the other guys.
Well, there's the hot hand.
Right. So, like, I think that there's some potential there for, like, a trip up that you're maybe putting on yourself. But this is what you do when you don't have a lot of separation between those top two and the third.
Yeah.
Because you don't even know how the pecking order is now.
Yeah. And he... I thought the answer was a little bit, I don't know if encouraging is the right word. The endorsement seemed stronger for Bo Jackson today than even it was a week ago, but he's still saying that you're seeing the flashes, and as the coaching parlance goes, you want that consistency. So I don't know if the week of practice was, it seemed like it was better, and if that's where this thing is trending, because we're all seeing the results.
And the coaches see it too, and the players in the locker room see it. It's one of those old adages of sports. Like, the locker room always knows.
You can't lie to the locker room.
And so the question is, how does Bo, with a little taste of success in the last couple of weeks, and now his name starting to get out there, is there any step back from him in practice? Does he get complacent? Does he get any sort of arrogance about him? Does he start to demand more? Like, those are the things that I think you look for last week and this week as you head out west.
Yeah, and they'll be doing that on Thursday.
We'll do that Friday.
Yeah. Were you surprised by anything else?
No, I mean, this is a pretty, I don't want to say standard press conference, but this was, again, The conversation about Washington was more than I can recall about an opponent not named Michigan around here in forever.
Or Texas.
Or Texas. It was certainly, that was 8 months of buildup. But on a normal week, certainly more conversation about Washington than we've seen. And clearly, Ohio State respects what Washington has done and Jed Fish and should be setting up for a – and you, like you said at the start, the word I wanted to make sure we homed in on was battle. Like Ryan Day does not – use those sort of terminologies lightly. So it's certainly the mental side of things for Ohio State seems to be like really ramped up.
I wonder if he'll realize what was said and not said, and that by Wednesday night when we're back in here at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center to talk to the Buckeyes, if he'll drop a talent equated or matchup game, or if that is, if he is doing that on purpose.
But he doesn't lie. And that's the thing. Like he
speaks, that's why I think it's significant.
He speaks carefully.
Yeah.
But he says proper things and he says respectful things, but he also isn't going to sit here and try
Lou Holtz
and sell people like this Washington team belongs in Ohio State's going to win this game 99 times out of 100. And so what do you do to make sure this isn't the one time? Even if it's 95 times out of 100, how do you make sure this isn't one of those five? Because Washington has a couple dudes on this team that can scare you. And I think it's nice when Ohio State acknowledges that. Like, hey, they've got some guys over here that are real, because you don't get that every week. And you don't even get that every week in the Big Ten. So.
Yeah, it's a huge week because the Big Ten starts on Saturday for Ohio State. Again, Buckeyes adjusting that travel schedule. Ours will be the same. We'll be leaving on Friday to get
out there. We're actually adjusting. We're going out a day later than we normally
do. That's true. We flipped it. We didn't need the extra time to recover. That made it even worse for us. But we'll have full coverage all week long. We're already into Tuesday, believe it or not. The Buckeyes will be on the practice field a little bit later. Got their meetings. They are practicing slightly earlier all 3 days as they prepare for that trip. But we will have the beat on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, of course. We'll have snap judgments again on Wednesday evening after practice. Three things on a Thursday. Bold peas on a Friday.
Probably a little talking stuff
out there. A
lot of stuff.
There's a little intrigue going on with the Washington recruiting class. Is that correct?
Ohio State offered a Washington commitment on Tuesday morning, a corner that Tim Walton's been watching for the last 6 weeks or so. We'll see if that matters. But, you know, it's intrigue. It's everywhere.
A juicy little
And also, look into how crazy flying is.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what a remarkable feat of engineering and science. You did it.
Great
job. This is a new discovery. Well,
isn't Seattle like Boeing headquarters?
That's right.
Maybe we need to go out there and say, hey, can you explain flight to Berm?
Oh, that'd be cool. Can you also explain how I don't have to ever do it again?
No, that's not going to happen.
Shoot. Okay, goodbye. Have a great day.
All right, but that's what's coming for the rest of the week on the Austin and Berm Show. This Snappy Jays on a Tuesday at the Woody. Great to hear from Ryan Day again as we roll along into the start of Big Ten season for the number one ranked team in the country. That is the Ohio State Buckeyes. And he is Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Ward. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Ice Cube's Big 3 is back. The most competitive basketball league on earth is on CBS this Saturday. Big 3 All-Star Dwight Howard and the LA Riot take on Greg Monroe and the Dallas Power. Then in another clash of undefeated teams, Earl Clark and Coach Steven Jackson lead the DMV Trilogy against Montrezl Harrell, Coach Dr. J, and the Chicago Triplets. The game played the way you love. Watch live Saturday on CBS at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and catch replays Monday on BET. Presented by iHeart. Yay, yay, yay.